Gautama Buddha, I looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him there. The precious lamb, God's own begotten, was no longer in that.
Say this morning that it's not Buddha that we worship. It's not Muhammad that we worship. Those men, their bones are still in the grave. But it's Jesus that we worship. He's alive. You take a trip over to Israel and you search where the tomb of Jesus, where they say it was at. And you go in there, you can bring all the pickaxes you want. You can bring all the, you can even blow it up if you want to, like they do in some of these mines, but you'll never find the bones of Jesus. Why is that? Because he's alive. Amen. He's alive this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. So good to see each and every one of you. I hope everybody's had a good week this week. Like I told them on Wednesday night, came in and opened the service. I said, well, I hope everybody's giving the devil a black eye this week. And so hopefully you've given the devil some punches this week and not just received any punches, but giving him some punches. So good to be here. We are very close to Easter. And in fact, next Sunday will be Easter Sunday morning. And so we are looking forward to that. And speaking of that, our service course will begin at 11 o'clock. So make note of that. It's in the paper for 11. So we're having service at 11. And Brother Allen, he'll mention the details as far as getting here early for the choir to practice. But looking forward to next Sunday morning. And then no service next Sunday night. Spend time with your families and your friends and just celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Let me just make a little side note here. I want to make a point about our dogwood tree out here. I think it's amazing. Now, we know different seasons, things bloom and things die, but every year, it's springtime, but every year right at Easter, that dogwood out there blooms, and it's just so fitting for the season. And you say, what do you mean? Well, things are going from a dead state to a living state, and that's what the resurrection is all about. Jesus rising from the dead, and all of those who accept him by faith, through grace, by faith, becomes part of his family, and you also will experience the newness of life. So what a blessing that is. I want to mention that, and looking forward to next Sunday. Please remember in your prayers, Miss Christy Teague, as she goes on Wednesday to have her other stent removed and a possible stone. The doctor said that they can't find it. Maybe it's gone already. But they did remove the other stone she had in her other kidney, one per kidney, this past week. So she's going next week for that. Remember that. Remember Brother Larry Bennett as he goes the 19th, for a thyroid surgery. And so we're praying for you, Brother Larry. And a couple of reminders. This coming up Saturday, of course, this is to the choir. I'll mention it while I'm here. But we're having choir practice at 9:30. And so we're trying to fit in all the practice that we can. And so choir, remember that. But then on the 16th, on Sunday night, this will be the Sunday night after next. It will be our new ministry kickoff, where we're starting on Sunday nights, and we'll have light refreshments, and then we'll have music, have a devotion. And on the 16th, that night, Brother Stephen Sapp will be with us, and so he'll actually be kicking it off for us with his devotion. And so remember that. But also, one more thing. We're not going to overload you like we did last Sunday, but one more thing. On May 31st, has everybody got their antennas up? Just remember this date, May 31st. It's on a Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Normally we meet at 7, but at 6 o'clock on May 31st, Wednesday, we are having a visiting youth department come through here. Come visit with us. First Baptist Tillman's Corner. I believe that's right. Tillman's Corner out of Mobile, Alabama. They're coming to be with us in service, and it's going to be just a different, unique midweek approach, and I love it. And so remember that May 31st, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, help us pack out the church. We're reaching out to visiting churches as well and their youth groups. We want to do something great, and so we appreciate that connection, Brother Brian, that suggestion. I love it. That is great for a Wednesday night. Something totally different. So let's remember that. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen. All right. One last thing I want to do. I want to just say thank you for our good friends, the Colemans, who were down here from Waverly, Tennessee, and I guess what, about 75 miles from Nashville, something like that. And so we had a great day yesterday. Went fishing and did some fun stuff. And so just wanted to mention them this morning and say thank you for being with us in service. All right, let's pray, and we'll give it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you. We thank you for who you are and the things that you do, O Lord. I pray, God, that you would just bless our efforts as we try to do things different, try to revitalize, Lord, some things around here, bring some newness and freshness of spirit and soul. And Father, help us just always be about your business. We love you today. We lean on you. We need you. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. And Lord, we do pray for Miss Christy Teague. We pray for Brother Larry Bennett and all the others on our prayer list. Lord, Miss Marianne Sandvey, who's recovering from a knee operation, and all the rest of them, Lord, we just pray that you would be with each and every person in every life. Meet with us in a mighty way today, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'll take a hymnal in church, stand with me. Choir, stand and turn over to page number 113. Page 113, and that's Sing Glory to His Name. Sing now. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There So if you're visiting with us, you're our special guest today, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. And you visit a couple of times around here, we'll claim you as home, folks, but we are glad to have you here in the house of the Lord today. Some are traveling, of course, with it being spring break. Some are leaving today and going on a little bit of a vacation, so please remember all those that will be traveling. And let me just also mention, let's please pray for all of those in Nashville. The six families that were so devastated this week in the shooting there at the school. We won't go into that in great detail, but just please remember those families in prayer. A lot of folks are just devastated, I'm sure, and we just need to lift them up in prayer. A lot of things going on in this world, but I'm glad to know that I might be in this world, but I'm not of this world. Amen. Looking forward to a place far better than this. So please let's remember again those families in prayer. And as far as the choir goes, we're going to stay right on schedule with our regular schedule. Now, there'll be no Sunday school next Sunday morning. Service will start at 11, but there'll be no Bible study. I believe last year we had service start at 10:30 with no Bible study, but this year we'll start at 11, no Bible study at 10. The choir will come in at 9:30. As normal, and we'll have that hour at least to be able to make things ready for our service next Sunday morning. Invite some folks to come with you to the house of God. I believe it'd be a great program. We'll do a little bit of a drama slash musical again this year, and we sure appreciate your prayers. with that being said, I need about four strong backs. Now, if you got a bad back, please don't stay after church and help. But we need the pulpit moved after the morning service. So if you can help us with that, we'd sure appreciate it. We're a little few in number on the strong backs with the children's home guys being away. So if you can help, that'd be greatly appreciated. But again, if you're having physical issues, please don't do it. Just stand back and pray, all right? But I need some folks to help to move the pulpit right after the morning service. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask God's blessing on the service as we pray for pastor, pray for the offering this morning, and again, pray for the prayer requests that have already been given. Father, we love you and praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to be able to come into your house this morning. Lord, as we near this Easter celebration, Lord, our hearts and our minds are already upon what you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you so much for allowing your Son to come and go to a place called Calvary and die for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that he didn't stay there, but that he rose again. And Lord, because of that, we can have a newness of life through your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for salvation that is full and free. Thank you for a class that started this morning for those that were saved during our revival, our jubilee. Lord, we're so excited about that. Lord, we look forward to new souls becoming a part of that class. Lord, I'm sure some will be following you in believers' baptism soon. Lord, we're so excited about what you're doing here at Calvary. Save someone today here would be our prayer. Bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Be with Pastor this morning as he brings the word. Accept our worship and our praise. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been 3 days since heaven watched their Prince of Glory die, and his followers are in mourning, for in the tomb their Savior lies. But at the grave, something is happening, and death screams, I've lost my hold, and angels rise, and anticipation for the Son.
Appreciate that, Brother David. I like that song, This Is the Last Blood. There was the first blood and then the last blood. Back in the book of Genesis, when the Lord God made coats of skins and covered Adam and Eve. And an animal had to be shed. I mean, an animal had to be slain and blood had to be shed in order for that to happen, in order for them to be covered in coats of skins. And that was a picture of the coming Jesus, the soon and coming Jesus. And then when the perfect Lamb gave his life and died upon the cross, that was the last blood. There's the first blood and the last blood. There's the Old Testament. There's the New Testament. And I'm thankful for both testaments this morning that we're able to glean from. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 16 for a moment. Acts chapter number 16. And do want to comment for a moment on the First Steps class we had this morning. It was a tremendous blessing. We met in the choir, and I used Brother Allen's music pulpit, his little podium there. And it was just a special, intimate setting. And we had four. And so I asked them, I said, y'all want to continue this? I mean, I had a set amount of Sundays, but all of them said, yes, 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 we want to continue this. And in small, intimate settings, you can share your heart a bit easier, and you can really dig in the Scriptures. And so we are excited about the First Steps class. And, of course, the target of that is after you give your heart and life to Jesus, what are those first things that you do? And again, this is some things that are missed a lot, especially in Baptist churches. We lead them to the Lord, and then we leave them up to themselves to learn spiritual things. And so we are excited about the class. Acts chapter number 16. And in just a few moments, I want to start the message off looking at verse 14. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to ask you a question. And then we're going to have Bible drill. I could not just stay parked in one verse. We've got a lot. And you can either follow along and thumb your way through or just listen. And it might be better for you just to listen or look up on the screen. But let's pray. And we will bring about the subject this morning. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you for the things in our life that you have done. God, the things that you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, and the things that you're going to do. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, nothing is more important to me today than transferring your word to the people that are here, those watching on Facebook, those listening on the live stream. And so I pray that you would touch me and use me, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I said I was going to ask you a question, but really it's more of just a statement. I'm sure I could go around the room this morning and ask every single person about encountering God in your life. And I'm sure every person in here could say that there was that moment in my life where my back was against the wall and I didn't know what I was going to do. And yet, God came through for me. I'm sure every person in here could give a testimony of some sorts of how that you had a specific encounter with the Lord. And with that said this morning, I want to mention some areas that we encounter God in. And the title of the message is Encountering God. Encountering God. I don't know about you, but I like to have another encounter with the Lord this week, right now, today. We're living in a world that is dark spiritually. We're living in a world where people's lives are being shattered. We're living in a ruthless world. We're living in a world that is not fair. And so if there's ever a time that we need an encounter with God, I believe it's now. And so this morning I want to mention some things concerning encountering God. Number one, in the book of Acts chapter 16, I want you to notice in verse 14 that there's encounterings with God, or there's encountering God and His salvation. And we see that a religious woman, encountered God and his salvation. Now, notice if you would in verse number 14, the Bible says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." The first thing I want you to notice about encountering God and his salvation, that we see that the religious need to be saved. You say, hold on now, religious, I'm in church and I'm, you know, I say my prayers and I read my Bible. What are you talking about? I thought this was enough to go to heaven just by coming to church. You may say, well, I thought it was enough by just reading my Bible and saying a prayer that God will let me into his heaven one day. Well, that's not so. I want you to notice that this lady Lydia, she was religious. In fact, she was by the river worshiping God. Keep in mind, this lady Lydia, she was holding most say to Judaism and she was holding to the laws of God. She never has had until now a personal experience with Jesus Christ who fulfilled the law. And so Paul and his men make their way to this riverside, and there was this worship service, and the Bible says that there was a religious woman there. The Bible says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshipped God." She worshipped God. She did her best to live up to the laws of God. We have a confused generation who think, well, if I do my best and not sin, if I do my best and go to church, then somehow that's going to outweigh my bad, and my good will be more in the good result, and so maybe the Lord will let me into heaven one day. That's not the case. Because it was after that Paul and his men showed up and began to preach the gospel, the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart and she received then the words of God. So this morning, I want to say that there is encounterings with God concerning his salvation to those who are religious. I've heard testimony after testimony of people who said that they were born and raised in church and went their whole life. They went to church. They said the right things. Again, they read their Bibles. They prayed, did all those kind of things, gave even in tithes and offerings. But they never had a personal experience with Jesus. And so we see that this lady, Lydia, she had a personal encounter with Christ. Her heart was opened up and she accepted the words that she heard that Paul was preaching. And that is that Jesus came, Jesus bled, and Jesus died. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose from the grave. And so she said, you know what? I've been worshiping God my whole life and I've been trying to do what's right, but this Jesus you're talking about who came to fulfill the law, and this Jesus that you're talking about died for me, I want to accept that Jesus. I want to experience real freedom from the law in my life. I want you to notice something else. Not only she was religious and got saved, but she was a businesswoman and got saved. The Bible says in verse 14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple." This was a businesswoman that accepted Jesus. She had her own business. She was an entrepreneur. She was a CEO of her own company. And I want to say she made good money. Now, the Bible talks about a shallow of purple, and most Bible commentators believe that this dye came from a type of shellfish. And so there were people, if not her herself, going to gather shellfish and then working to get that dye out and then containing that dye and then using that dye to dye fabric to make, of course, the color purple. She was a businesswoman. And all the while, she was thinking that by doing right and fulfilling the laws of God the best she could, by just merely going to worship services, that would secure her a spot in heaven. But I want to say that God wants to save business people as well. There are CEOs and entrepreneurs. Listen, we're living in a world where people are giving everything for money. And listen, we need money. And nothing wrong with having money as long as money don't have you. But these people who think that money is everything and having these big businesses and all of this, that sitting on a big nest egg, you know what I'm saying? What's going to happen when the day comes that they breathe their last? That money ain't going to amount to anything. And so the heart of the matter this morning is when we're talking about Lydia, that she had a God encounter. Number one, she was religious and had a God encounter, but she was a businesswoman and had a God encounter. Jesus saves today, and he wants to save everybody. But not only that, not only she was religious and not only she was a businesswoman, but she was a homeowner. You say, how'd you get all that? It's right there in the verse. Actually, it's the next verse. Look at verse 15. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, as she constrained us. Boy, it is something to say, my house, isn't it? If you got a place to live, it feels good to say, my place. I mean, listen, you work from can to can't and then some, and you go home and you prop your feet up, and there's that feeling of, what does the Bible say, enjoying the fruit of your labor. There's the enjoyment of your hard work, and you know it's paid off. You have your own place. This woman had it all together. She was a woman who was business-minded. She was religious. She had her own home, but she missed the mark. The one thing that she needed, she overlooked. But by the grace of God and the providence of God and the working of God, God moved Paul over to that area. And at the right time, the gospel was preached and the right person heard it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, Lydia must have had that, you know, that inner dialogue we have. You know, sometimes I argue with myself for hours. You already know I talk to myself, I've told you. And we all agree that some level of talking to yourself is okay, because David had many conversations with his soul. But that inner dialogue, sometimes that's me. I'm thinking, did I say the right thing? Was I too harsh? Was I overbearing? What did I do? Did I do everything right? Lydia, it's not in there, but I'm saying that it must have been something like this. If she had an inner dialogue or internalized the matter, she must have said, you know what? What's this man talking about, Jesus? I worship God. I give all of these things. I mean, he walked in on our worship service. I'm a wealthy woman. I have my own business. I own my own home. Isn't that what God is after? Someone who has it all together? And my answer to that is no, ma'am, and no, sir. God is not only after those who have it all together, but God is after those who don't have it all together. And the Lord is after those this morning who are just going through this life and wondering what their purpose is, wondering why they're here. You, ma'am, you, mister, that's who God is after. So I praise the Lord this morning for encountering God and His salvation. We had a wonderful class this morning, and I went down the row. Actually started with Miss Dawn. Miss Dawn was in our class this morning. Well, I started with Hassan and made my way down, but everyone, what I'm getting at, gave their testimony. And what a blessing it was to hear Hassan give his testimony of how he accepted the Lord during revival. And what a blessing it was to hear Ashton back there. Boy, listen, I'm not trying to embarrass Ashton, but that girl got a hold of something. She was so true and genuine when she was telling her testimony this morning. And we know that something's the Lord. And then for Kristen to say what happened to her, and look, I remind her, I said, look, this is a private setting. You can share what you want to with me. Nobody's being judgy. I said, we're diving into the scriptures, but I want to take steps through this, small baby steps. And so they gave their testimonies, and then I talked a little bit about salvation being a gift and how that you're going to mess up after salvation, and how that don't you, if you truly meant business with Jesus and accepted Him as your personal Savior, and you know that, and then you messed up after salvation, don't think you need to get saved again, because you were never hanging on to it. We talked about how that salvation is a gift. It is given. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. There's nothing that we did to save ourselves, and there's nothing that we're going to do to keep ourselves saved. It's just the unmerited, unconditional love of Jesus Christ. God the Father is His unconditional, undeserved, unmerited love toward us. That how could God save anybody? And then we mess up after salvation, and He still call us one of His own. We talked about how that salvation is a gift from God, and how a person gets saved. And then we talked about that for a little bit, and then we got into the baptism part and all that. But back to my original point this morning, when it comes to Lydia, she heard the gospel preached, and she must have been in her mind, well, I'm a religious person, and I'm a businesswoman, and I'm a homeowner. Is that not enough? And I could just hear Paul say, no, ma'am, ye must be born again. The Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I know I say those verses over and over again, but look, I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit, a whole lot. And Romans 10:9-10, I know real well. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, the rich, the poor, the unloved, the castaway, the homeless man sleeping under the bridge, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe Lydia heard that in its purity and purest form from the Apostle Paul. She says, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. And so this morning, we see encountering God and His salvation, the religious encounter it, but there's a second group that encounter His salvation, the rough. Encountering God and His salvation, there's the rough. We're in chapter 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 30. And so, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, aren't they? They were thrown into prison for being so bad. They were thrown into prison for just being mean people. No, they were thrown in prison for preaching the word. And if I was going to say if Nobody's ever been to prison. I ain't going to say that because I hope you haven't been to prison. But if you've seen it on TV, Brother Al knows exactly what those jails look like, for he works there with the sheriff's office. Prison is a rough place. Jail is a rough place. Back when I first started preaching, right at 18 years ago at Floyd Road, we had a jail ministry. Brother Buford Howard, we would go, and those inmates would come in there, and, 50, 60 of them, and there would be an inmate who directed the music, a cappella, Amazing Grace, by inmates. I tell you what, that is amazing. Men who literally said, you know what, I've gone as far as I can go. I've had a rough life. I need Jesus, and they got saved. And they would start singing from the top of their lungs, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And to hear someone who's incarcerated say, who saved a wretch like me, blow your mind. So it was nothing to get. I just started preaching. It was nothing to get up and just join right in and say, hey, by the grace of God, I've never been where you're at. But by the grace of God, I won't be where you're at. And God saved me. There was a jailer who got saved. Paul and Silas were beaten. Some say that Paul prayed because his name starts with a P, whatever. It's nice to think about it. Some say that Silas sang because his name starts with an S, whatever. We'll just say that Paul prayed and Silas sang. And they prayed and sang when blood was running down their back. They prayed and they sang in their darkest hour. Whole nother message. They prayed and sang praises unto God right where they were at, incarcerated, bruised and battered and beaten. But inmates watching. And a jailer listening. And the Bible says in Acts 16, notice verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Whoa, nearly. I'm going to try that again. Heavenly Father. Silas started singing, Amazing Grace. Not that bad. He started singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And all of a sudden, Paul, what do you want to do? Silas, what do you want to do? Let's just keep praying and keep singing because something's happening. Glory to God, a whole nother message. Side note, you're going through a dark time. You keep praying and you keep singing because God is listening and something will happen. I promise you that. But there was a jailer who was awoke out of his sleep. Look at verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He was sleeping. Woke up, doors wide open. Ah! Where they at? And before he would say that I wasn't sleeping on my watch and this happened on my watch, he would have killed himself before that. Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. The Bible goes on and says, verse number 30. Well, that, of course, there was a verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let me give you an illustration. I'll give you the difference between believing in and believing on. Oh, look at that. You don't think I can do that, did you? I believe this morning, this chair I believe with all my heart this chair will hold me up if I sit down in it. I believe that. But I have no experience of that happening, because I have believed intellectually that chair will hold me up. But now, what I've heard in my head, I'm trying out in my heart. I have personal experience by not only believing in, but believing on, that this chair will hold me up. You see, there's a lot of people who are real churchy, who have believed in their head, "Oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." But the question is, have you ever believed on Jesus? Has there ever been a time and place when you said for yourself? I keep talking about everybody else's testimony and how good God's been to them and how God has saved them. And I believe in Jesus, but today, you know what? Without any reserve, I'm putting my faith in action and I'm calling on the Lord to be my personal Lord and Savior. I have believed on Jesus. I not only have believed in, but now I'm believing on. Now I don't have to boast or brag about someone getting saved, and I don't have to share somebody else's story of salvation, because I have my own story of salvation. There was a time and place in my life when I was bankrupt spiritually, and I thought if I worked enough hours at a job, I thought if I did enough good that it'll outright my bad. And the truth of the matter is, I was hell bound and on my way fast. But there was a time and there was a place, November 19th, 2002, I believed in Jesus, but that night I believed on Jesus, and Jesus gloriously saved me. 20 years ago, in Sunday school class, First Steps, I haven't always done the Christian thing since I've been saved. But glory be to the Lord, my Father has unconditional love. Glory to God, He has a unconditional love. There's nothing that I can do to make them love me anymore. There's nothing I can do to make them love me any less. This morning I'm rejoicing, not because I'm perfect, not because I'm preaching a sermon, but I'm rejoicing this morning that He didn't throw the clay away. I'm rejoicing this morning that He didn't throw me away. I remember when I first got saved, man, I fell miserably. I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, won't you just kill me? Lord, just kill me. I'm a miserable bag of dirt. I'm a dirt bag, Lord. Just take me home. Kill me." Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, "Be careful talking about yourself like that, because you're talking about a child of God. Be careful." Holy Ghost told me, "Oh, listen, there's nothing you can do to make me want to do that to you. I mean, you've got to get way out there for God to deal with you and discipline you in a harsh way." But that day I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, why don't you just kill me? I felt so bad." But you see, the blessing is, there is nothing. Listen, I'm not preaching a cheap grace. I'm not saying that if you're saved, you got a license to sin. But what I'm saying is, a person who accepts the Lord Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior is standing under an umbrella of grace. His judgment is not going to rain upon you. His judgment will rain upon a lost and dying world who has never accepted Jesus. This morning I say again, I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm saved. Are you glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
And so, let me just give one illustration and we'll move on. We'll bring it to a close here in a moment or two. I love saying this when I'm on a point like this, but my relationship with Lily, and I want to embarrass her real good this morning. She's my daughter, mine and Christy's daughter. We've had some, I say rough times, I mean that in the lowest level possible. She's a teenager. Hey, I'm learning how to be a parent to a teenager. Okay? And while I'm here, thank God for our house parents who's been there and got experience under your belts. So I may be calling you, Brother Brian, pretty soon, asking Dion. But she's a great girl. She's human like anybody else. But there's times where, let's just say it, she's disobedient. She's disobedient, I said. Okay? But it does not matter how bad she does. It does not matter how disobedient she gets. God forbid she ever gets to a place in her life where she graduates high school like a lot of them do and say, I'm done with church. I'm going out and doing my own thing. God forbid that ever happen. If it does, or during her teenage years while having times of disobedience, a lot of excellence, she will never cease to be my daughter. We may not see eye to eye at times. It'll never change the fact that she can undo being my child. And I'll tell you something. Even now, some of the things we go through, middle school, high school, and times where she just is learning by experience. Oh, we'll still go home. She'll still get supper. I'll still put some money on her lunch account for tomorrow. See, some parents, they got this corrupt idea that they just have to torture their kids when they do wrong. How about speak to their heart? I won't stop feeding her. We won't stop feeding her. We will not stop buying her clothes that she needs and school supplies. And she'll always have a Christmas and all of those things. She'll have the best birthday parties and things like that. We're teaching her how to drive right now. Lord help. Hey, saying that, I have to say this. She took some laps around the church, like NASCAR, and did great. Not as fast as NASCAR. She did great, though. But it doesn't matter. Lily, you're stuck with me, honey. Lily, you're stuck with your mom. It doesn't matter how bad you do. It doesn't matter how good you do. You're always going to be fed. You're always going to be housed. You're always going to have me and mom there with you during the storms of life. That is a picture of our relationship with the Lord. I didn't say that she's ever disciplined. I didn't say that we don't see eye to eye at times. But she will always be my daughter. I will always be her dad. She'll always, and that's the same thing with us. When we get saved, we are the children of God. And God provides for us because of who He is and not who we are. I do want to mention this. We will finish this tonight, Lord willing. We're talking about the encounterings with God concerning His salvation. We looked at Lydia. She was religious. She was a businesswoman. She was a homeowner. We looked at the jailer, and this pictured the rough because of his circumstance. But there's a second rough situation I'm going to look at, and we'll be through. It's over in Mark chapter number 5. The maniac man of Gadara. I got to bring him up. Mark chapter number 5. I do want to begin in verse number 1, but we're not going to read the whole chapter, of course. We're just going to read a few verses, make our point, and we'll bring it to a close. Mark chapter number 5, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, or demonic spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, and thou tormentest me not. And we know that Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out. Make a long story short, this is truly deliverance. It's truly salvation. Salvation also means deliverance, but salvation means saved. And so we have a picture of true deliverance, but also a picture of salvation. Look at verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Here we have a guy that hung out in the graveyard. I don't know what was going on in his life. I mean, the Bible says he was possessed, so I don't guess anything has to go on in his life other than demon possession. He lived in the cemetery. The people of the community tried to chain him, to tame him. And the Bible says that every time they tried to chain him, he broke those chains. Listen, human help has its place. But human help can't do like God's help. Man tried to change this guy and he couldn't change him. So Jesus got involved. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he came and worshiped him. And so now when the community sees this wild man, he's not wild anymore. I kind of think about Forrest Gump sitting on that park bench waiting on that bus, telling that old story. You know, this picture, he goes from just a crazy figure in the worst horror movie ever to being Forrest Gump. People are like, what in the world? He scared everybody before, but being sober and sitting in his sound mind really scared him. And listen, this ain't about me this morning, but I do want to say this before I close, that when I got saved, I ran so hard with the crowd, all we did was ride around a smoke pot. But Jesus saved my soul. And I'm not saying that I can't do that again, but I don't want to do that again. That's the difference Jesus makes. And I remember when I got saved, I heard a loud booming in the driveway one night at my grandma's house. It was storming. I heard boom, boom, boom. It wasn't the thunder. It was that old guy that I rode around in with that old Caprice with those 22-inch wheels. He said, "Yo, Justin, man." He said, "What's wrong, man?" He said, "Everybody's talking about you." I said, "Really? What are y'all saying?" He said, "You're a hypocrite." I'm like, okay, that's the hypocrite. Honestly, at the time, I thought that was something you got caught at a church or something. I said, "You said you'll never go to church. You said you'll never do what you're doing. But man, you left all of us." I said, "Let me tell you something, friend." I said, "I don't know how to explain what happened to me, other than there was a time and place where I felt like I was going to drop off into a devil's hell if I died." And his name was Josh. "Josh," I said, "man, there has to be a purpose for my life. I'm not going to keep doing what I've been doing." I said, "So I accepted Jesus in my heart. And I cried like a baby. And something happened to me. And if you can't accept that, then I guess we can't be friends anymore." You know what I heard? A door closed and boom, 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 took off down the road. And 20 years later, I'm still walking it. I'm still talking it. God has raised me up to be a speaker to the brethren and sistern I never thought would happen. It's not because of me. It's because of the Jesus in me. And I want to say today that there are people in this room who've also had God encounters. If I were to say, "Brother Allen, you tell us of a God encounter, you know, salvation or just some random encounter." Oh, he has plenty. The Echols have plenty. Miss Catherine and the Nettles. We just make our round, and I guarantee you by the end of that meeting, that testimony meeting, we would have had a new God encounter. But being encouraged by everybody's testimony as they come, get a song ready for a time of invitation. And so I said that about my beginning of my salvation experience. Say this, they thought I was strange. I guess you could say that it scared them. That they see me walking around with one of these in my hand. I went from listening to rap and rock to Christian music. And you say, "Bro Justin, what do you do when you walk in Longhorn and there's a country song on or there's a rock and roll song on?" I say, "I eat. Ain't nothing gonna stop me from eating." What you talking about? Look, we're not lawgivers this morning. Jesus, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It taught us something that we can't do it. And Jesus could. And so I just enjoy life. You know, throw me in any situation. It may take me a minute, but I'll acclimate myself because ain't nothing worse than the way life was before I got saved. And so this morning, encountering God, and that's just my first point. We got three more tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do, Lord. God, you hadn't come to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance, Lord. And Father, we're not definitely not trying to throw in a list of do's and don'ts, Lord. You know, music and all that stuff, God, that was part of my testimony. And that's not to say that, Lord, I can't be around it and adapt, Lord, and even enjoy myself. There was a place where Paul said, "I became all things to all men." I would never go back to the old life, but Lord, there are people in our lives that need us to reach across the aisle, step into atmospheres that are uncomfortable, and just love people to Christ. So, Father, we pray that you give liberty during this time of invitation. If someone needs to come and give their life to you, Lord, let them come freely. If a Christian that's already saved needs to come, let them come and do whatever business they need to do with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. And